Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
And our special guest today is Simone Zickman, the Commerce Department Chief Information Officer. Simone, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Now, you've been CIO at Commerce since about May, so let's talk about some basics. How are things going over there? Last time we spoke, you were over at the National Institute for Standards and Technology as CIO, and you moved over to the main headquarters. How big of a change has it been coming from a bureau to the main headquarters?
Well, it's definitely been quite a bit of a change. I came into a position that's facing numerous challenges and having to deal with a variety of competing priorities. And of course, since it's only been about 3 months, it's too short a time to really claim major victories, but we do have a few early successes. Some things that are in the fire where good work is in progress, and I'm looking forward to other ideas, plans that we have for doing good things in the future. It's certainly a different type of role to be at the department level versus being the CIO for a bureau. The day-to-day activities are different in terms of a broader span of control, more indirect responsibility, but in some ways less direct control over the operations within the department. But I'd say I made the move with eyes pretty wide open and reasonable expectations, so there were no major surprises.
Which is good, because a lot of times you move from a bureau to a larger organization, and in the bureau you had a little more, as you said, a little more control, a little more input in terms of where things went. I imagine now you move from that piece to now you're more of the collaborator, bring people together, make sure the communication's happening. Is that a good description?
Yeah, that's a very accurate way of putting it, and certainly there's more of an oversight role with less of a direct hands-on the knobs and dials role.
And does that work for you? Because I know from talking to you before, your background is a computer scientist, a computer engineer, is that right?
Actually, my background by education is a mechanical engineer, but I sort of made a couple of left turns and ended up working in information technology. But overall, I would say my background does suit me pretty well, because historically I've done a lot of various interagency coordination types of activities. And so working in a role where there's a lot of partnering and teaming among many stakeholders and building a community internal to the department is something that I feel comfortable with.
Which is probably the most important thing, because I've heard from previous times talking about Commerce, I know you guys are really decentralized and the mission is just so wide and varied. Talk a little bit about, you said nothing really surprised you, but as you walked into the position, how did you have to prepare differently? How has this position kind of changed your view of being a CIO?
Well, certainly there are a lot more touch points in terms of the number of different types of stakeholders that I interact with now. At the bureau level, there are internal customers and peers and local leadership, and then interfacing with the department level CIO. At this level now, there's all of those same relationships as well, but peers are not just among the leadership here in the department. It's other CIOs. It's the senior and sometimes political leadership of other bureaus. It's the office of the secretary here within the department. There are connections to OMB and interactions with other federal CIOs. So there are definitely many more interfaces than there were at the bureau level.
And that was actually a great segue to my next question regarding, you were focused on NIST, and you understood how NIST worked, and you understood what NIST mission was and responsibilities you had related to that mission. How does that change about the other bureaus within the Commerce Department? Have you had to learn, for instance, what the Bureau of Economic Analysis does, or the Census, which is, you know, that the 800-pound gorilla in terms of the size of it?
I would say that because it just happens that I was already a CIO within the Department of Commerce, I was somewhat familiar with the missions of the other bureaus. We have an internal Commerce CIO Council, and so I was already part of the interactions internally within the community. Certainly, I've had to learn quite a bit more in terms of the details about the missions and the specific investments that other bureaus are making and the systems that are supporting the missions. So there's another level of detail that I've had to acquaint myself with, but I wasn't starting from scratch.
And I think that, as you said, because you were in NIST and you were there for quite a while, I think it was something like 5 or 6 years or more?
A little over 3 years.
3 years. So you get to know what's going on, especially when you talk about enterprise services. So I think that's a big help when someone, for instance, like yourself, gets kind of promoted internally like that. I want to talk about your role as CIO now. Obviously, we talked a lot about kind of the skills you need, but describe how you support the Commerce Department's wide and varied mission.
I think there are probably at least a half dozen different pieces to the answer to that question. First, there's the importance of facilitating the priorities of the secretary, the deputy secretary, and the office of the secretary in general. One example is Commerce Connect, which is a one-stop shop that's a high priority for the secretary. It's essentially creating a single point of entry and interface for the general public or corporations or external stakeholders to interact with the department and have access to our information, services, people. And so there's an IT infrastructure that's supporting Commerce Connect that's being built right now. And because that's a priority for the secretary, it automatically becomes a priority for me. There's the importance of leading department-wide strategic initiatives, and one of the ones we have going on right now is a big emphasis on cybersecurity. There's the importance of focusing on improving the efficiency and effectiveness of the investments within the department, and here we're looking at things like data center consolidation, infrastructure consolidation, strategic sourcing and doing smarter procurement across the department, really things to just improve the effectiveness with which we spend funds for IT in the department. There's, as I mentioned before, the need to represent commerce at the federal IT level, and that's interacting with the Federal CIO Council and OMB and Vivek Kundra, the federal CIO. There's just the general IT oversight responsibility, having to monitor the department's investments, make sure that they're sound and going well, that we assess the request for new funding for new investments in the future, capital planning and investment process types of things. There's the importance of building an internal CIO community, and that's something that I'm spending quite a bit of effort on. The community exists, but I'm trying to change the tone and culture there from something that had previously been a little more top-down directed to something that's now creating a greater spirit of teamwork and partnership within the department, where we have different bureaus taking on leadership positions and supporting the department at an enterprise level, not just at a local level. And then, although it's last but certainly not least, the local responsibility for monitoring and managing the IT operations within the headquarters building here downtown. And collectively, that, I think, is a pretty big portfolio of activities.
I'd have to agree. I mean, your plate's pretty full, and then we haven't even started to talk about your priorities yet, which you obviously gave us a little bit of a sneak preview. I want to go back, though. A lot of CIOs I talk to, you know, they have that one foot in the front room, the strategy side, one foot in the back room still with the technology side. You, as obviously coming over to commerce at large, are you still sorting out the back room issues before you jump into the strategy, or you really still have to have kind of both feet in those rooms?
I would say I have to have both feet in both of those areas. I think longer term, I would like to be able to shift the balance of how I spend my time more towards the strategic area, but we just have some ongoing hot issues that need to be dealt with on a day-to-day basis, and so it's definitely a combination of both.
All right, and obviously one of those is big ones is cybersecurity, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But first, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Simone Zickman, the Commerce Department Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Simone Zickman, the Commerce Department Chief Information Officer. Now, Simone, before break, we talked a lot about kind of your shift from NIST to the Commerce Department headquarters, and you gave us a little bit of a sneak preview maybe of some of your priorities. So let's talk about them more specifically and in more detail. What do you hope to get done over the next 6 or 9 months or so?
I'd say at the department level, the top priorities are really continuing some of the strategic and tactical planning in the area of cybersecurity. And as I had mentioned earlier, we're also focusing on trying to reduce spending or improve the effectiveness of our current spending, looking at how we're consuming the IT funding department-wide, looking more at enterprise-level services and larger procurements and consolidation to address those types of issues. I did comment a little bit earlier on supporting the Office of the Secretary and also OMB and administration priorities. We have things like the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative, other priorities that OMB is trying to move forward with, and we're certainly there helping to support those things. One item I hadn't commented on earlier was the internal priorities just within my own office of the CIO, and there's a big internal effort focusing on strengthening the effectiveness of the organization itself. We're looking at some staffing gaps that we're trying to fill. We're definitely overhauling a variety of administrative budget and technical processes and doing some process improvement. One area of focus is just improvement of alignment. We have organizations internally, we have responsibilities, we have people, we have funding, and they're not as well aligned as we would like, so we're making some internal changes there. And we're also in the early processes of implementing an internal performance excellence program to really drive and measure and improve the way we do our work.
All right, I want to back up on a couple of those things. Let me start with some of the internal priorities. You talk about focus on effectiveness, looking at staffing gaps. Let me start with the staffing gaps. Are you looking at hiring more people or just shifting people around to where they're better, where their skills are better? Talk a little bit about that.
It's a combination of both. On the alignment side, there are areas where the way our current people and resources and responsibilities are allocated are not necessarily as good as they could be, and so we are trying to make some shifts there, but we also do have some outright vacancies that we're currently looking to fill.
Tell us about those vacancies, because a lot of vendors listen to us, a lot of other government people. Maybe you may get a good candidate without knowing it.
We do have vacancies. Right now we have a couple of administrative vacancies, not advertised right at the moment, but I would say sometime in the next month they will be opening up. And also in the security area we have, a number of vacancies. I'm not sure how many might be advertised right at the moment, but again, we're anticipating others showing up in the future. So people are welcome to keep an eye out on USA Jobs and see what comes up.
Yeah, the security vacancies, I imagine, are going to be tough. I mean, every agency, every vendor I hear, they always are struggling to get the right people and then even get candidates that are qualified.
There's definitely a lot of competition for the security staff, and it's not just on the federal side. It's on the vendor and contractor side as well.
You also talked about overhauling some of the administrative processes. Are we talking about like the CPIC process, you know, capital plan investment control? Are we talking about oversight processes? Give us a sense of what you're hoping to accomplish.
It's a combination of things. We are tweaking our CPIC process. We're bringing on a contractor to help us beef up our enterprise architecture program. And then there are some just more basic types of administrative functions, just our future budget planning, our ongoing budget execution and tracking. So it cuts across a variety of areas.
I know the EA, it's interesting because a couple of the CIOs that I've been talking to recently, EA seems to have gotten a bump. You know, people are really starting to really focus on this again. For, you know, a number of years in the 2000s, there's a big focus, and then it kind of trailed off a little bit. It seems to be coming back. Any thoughts about why you think EA, again, is getting that push?
You know, it's interesting. I think that part of the reason may just be that people are recognizing the value, and the very strong mandate from OMB under the previous administration in some ways might have been counterproductive, because people, I think some people, had a tendency to view it as a compliance exercise. But I'm definitely a strong proponent. When I first arrived at NIST, the approach to enterprise architecture was to just take a snapshot of the current architecture and update it on a quarterly basis and call that the enterprise architecture, and that was the EA program. And by the time I had left, we had instituted a real enterprise architecture program where we had developed a technical reference model that defined a future state, and we were using that technical reference model to drive architectural decisions ranging from how we did authentication to how we designed our networks, what kind of products and platforms we were buying, what what technologies we would support internally, and using all of that collectively to streamline our infrastructure and reduce operations and maintenance costs. So I think when it's done in the spirit that was originally intended, there's value, and I think people are starting to recognize that.
And I think it's fascinating that it's, as you said, maybe when you're told to do something, it's like, oh, compliance, compliance, compliance. But when you said, oh, I'm kind of realizing the value, wow, this does make sense, and this is helping me. Again, I'm hearing from lots of different CIOs, not that enterprise architecture is important, but how they're starting to use it and make a difference, which kind of leads me to my next question about some of the enterprise-wide services that you're working on. Can you talk a little bit about what some of your plans are? I know this is something that commerce has always kind of struggled with, is to kind of bring everyone together around maybe, I'm using an example, an email system or storage. Where are you moving out in those directions?
Definitely is a challenge. I think it's always a challenge, but more so in an organization such as the Department of Commerce, just because it is an organization that's federated a lot of different components and the diverse missions that you had discussed earlier, and that just makes it more of a challenge. But it's something that I'm committed to, and I think there are a number of reasons why I'm optimistic about being able to make some progress. I think there are several important ingredients to getting those types of things to happen, and one is the relationship building within the CIO community inside the Department of Commerce, along with connecting with the senior leadership, both at the headquarters level and at the bureau level, and creating those types of trust relationships, I think, is important for getting people to agree to things such as sharing services or relinquishing control over some of their operations or some of their funding to others, which is necessary to do centralized and enterprise types of services. I have a philosophy of collaboration and partnering, so I don't come in wielding mandates, but I just try to work with people, and my own view is that good decisions flow out of good business analysis, so I'm trying to bring on some additional support to help do some business analysis and business case development. And on the flip side, bad decisions can result when you're not doing that analysis, and then the bad decisions affect the trust, and so there's a cycle that I think can lead to positive feedback or negative feedback, and I think things are moving in the right directions right now. There are also a couple of externalities that I think are helping nudge us in this direction. First is the fiscal climate. Everybody knows right now there's a very strong belt tightening that's going on in government budgets in general. And so, in my view, every dollar that the IT community can save by coming together to standardize, to consolidate infrastructure, to do smarter procurement, is a dollar that doesn't have to be cut out of mission programs. And that, I think, makes a compelling case for people to sit down, work together, and do what they can. And lastly, I have to say, just where I am right now, I have a very strong level of support from senior and political leadership to do these kinds of things, and it's sometimes hard to get things happen without that support.
That seems to be always the key, when no matter what you're talking about, if your political leadership, if your senior leadership is paying attention and continues to pay attention, you know, sustains that attention, that's when things seem to get done more often. When you talk about enterprise services, are there any specific ones you can talk about in terms of what you're going to go try to do over the next, again, 6-9 months, even longer?
We're looking at some services in the security area, continuous monitoring and near real-time situational awareness, and also some security operations, as well as a few other things that were just currently at the discussion stages internally. It's not just the enterprise services, though. It's also, as I mentioned earlier, the strategic sourcing and procurement consolidation, where we think we can be saving money simply by looking at what the department is currently spending, consolidating requirements, possibly standardizing on a smaller number of products, and putting in place vehicles that allow us to do larger department-wide procurements.
In fact, I just spoke with recently the NOAA CIO, Joe Klimovich, and the NOAA link was part of that conversation as well. And he wasn't able to talk too much about it because they hadn't made the award yet. But is that the type of thing you guys are considering?
That is definitely one of the key elements to the strategy. We see NOAA link as being very useful. And in fact, Joe had mentioned that there's still some things that are pre-award, but there are some small slices of that that have, in fact, already been awarded, and we at headquarters are already making use of some of those contracts for some services that we're bringing on board now. So it definitely is a key element in the strategy.
Very nice. Well, something I guess we're going to have to look out for as you guys kind of make some of those decisions, and we may see some either new contracts or see more money going to existing contracts that you guys are already using. But we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and mention cybersecurity. We're going to touch touch upon that. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Simone Zickman, the Commerce Department Chief Information Officer.
CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Simone Zickman, the Commerce Department's Chief Information Officer. Now, Simone, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities, some of the enterprise-wide services. You gave us a little bit of a heads-up on one area that you're considering around continuous monitoring and cybersecurity. IT security has been a major challenge for the Commerce Department over the years. A recent IG report said that it's one of your biggest, in fact, management challenges. Talk a little bit from your perspective. I know it's only been 3 months. What are some of the areas that you hope to really accomplish and improve upon?
The cybersecurity area is definitely one of my top priorities, if not my top priorities. The first mandate I was given upon moving into the new position was to work collectively with the community here at the department to develop a cybersecurity strategic plan for the department. And given where we were in the 2012 budget cycle, we had some imminent needs for which timing was critical. So I broke this effort up into a two-phase process where initially we were looking at just what we needed to do for 2012 budget planning, and we're currently in the process of wrapping that up. We've identified some strategic priorities, some budget and technical plans to go with it, and we're working that into our internal budget planning process. The second phase is going to look a little bit more broadly than just 2012 budget planning. And we'll look at things that we might start doing with existing resources in 2011, maybe things that don't require new budget and don't have to be integrated with the budget cycle, or things that might even be longer term than 2012. And we'll be kicking that off relatively soon, but that's going to be the second phase of the effort. Within the CIO community here, we're also moving in the same direction as trends that other people will certainly be familiar with in terms of FISMA and the evolution and guidance from the National Institute of Standards and Technology, the new directions that we're hearing from OMB in terms of emphasizing enterprise services, the use of automated tools, continuous monitoring, and internally we're looking at how to overhaul our certification and accreditation process and our risk management approach to focus less on the documentation and more on the operational security controls and situational awareness of where security is at any given time. We're also internally in the process of evolving a workforce improvement program, and one thing that we've done is created a cybersecurity development program within the department. It was developed initially prior to my arrival, but the program had its first kickoff on my first week on the job, and we are currently have a class of people who are moving through this program, and the intent there is to develop a stronger cadre of IT professionals from the people who are already inside the department.
Let me ask you about a couple things about cybersecurity, because I'm interested in the workforce improvement program. As you said, it kicked off the first week you were on the job. You guys are actually, I think that's fascinating. You guys are looking internally. Okay, who do we have? What skills do they have? And what skills do they need? I mean, that's really the crux of the program, figuring out how to improve the training, because hiring, as we talked about earlier, is so tough of getting new people in here.
Absolutely. That was one of the main drivers of that particular program, is the fact that it is hard to hire people, and sometimes when you have good people and there's just a need to refresh or improve their skills, it's much more effective to develop the people that you already have than it is to try to hire new ones. And that is the focus of that program. We identify skill needs. They go through different types of training. And on the policy side, we're also in the process of instituting new policies. Some new policies have already been instituted on IT security training, and other ones will probably be forthcoming, identifying additional training requirements for people who have roles inside the department relating to IT security, and in some cases, IT more generally as well.
I know it started before you started, the development of it started before you came to Commerce, but you, I'm sure, saw it through NIST. Is this modeled after another agency, or is this something that you guys kind of developed internally?
Some of the training policies, and I would say some of the elements of the program, are modeled after DOD, some of the things that they've done with their training and certification requirements for IT professionals. I would say there are probably some aspects of the department that are just unique and homegrown as well. I'm sorry, some aspects of the program.
There's a big push around government that I'm seeing from places like the General Services Administration. Also, the Army, for instance, is taking email to the cloud. Or anybody within Commerce, whether it's Commerce headquarters or just one of the bureaus, have they started down that path of email in the cloud?
That's one of those areas that I would say is somewhere in a combination of the pilot stage and the exploratory stage. So it's conceivable that that could be a future direction. I wouldn't say at this point that there's absolute certainty there.
All right, well, we're almost out of time, unfortunately, and I want to, before I let you go, I do want to talk a little bit about vendors and what should they know about working with your office. I think there's a lot of interest because Commerce is a pretty big agency. You guys have a pretty big IT budget. So give us a quick heads up of what your IT budget is, and how do you like vendors to work with your office, meaning email, in-person meetings, or even, you do have a deputy CIO that does a lot of the industry discussions.
That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked. In terms of how we're structured the IT budget for the department, at the level of major investments, which is what's reported on the federal IT dashboard, is about $2.6 billion, which is a relatively sizable budget. And sometimes the people I interact with are surprised to hear that the budget that I have direct control over is about $25 million, which is just around 1% of the department's IT spending. So that relates back to my earlier comment about having more indirect authority but less direct control over what the department does and how it spends its IT funding. And I think to your question about vendors, that is an important point for them to note, because I've often had vendors contact my office expecting they may have access to substantial business opportunities. And in reality, the overwhelming majority of the funding is spent by the department's bureaus and programs, and so my door is frequently just not the right one for them to be knocking on if they're looking for those big opportunities. The other 99% of the department's funds is spent at the bureau level by the bureau CIOs and the program areas out in the bureaus. Another piece of advice I would give relating to your question about how the department prefers to interact with vendors, I personally always find it a little odd when vendors come in and ask about the department's mission, what the department does, provide some information about technology and ask how I think the department could use that technology. I think it's far more valuable both for the vendors and for the people on the department side if people who approach the department have done some homework, have learned about the department, what it does, identified some areas where there's a potential fit between the technology offerings and the department needs, and then have people coming in proposing what they think they can do to help the department.
You know, that's a common problem I hear from a lot of CIOs, and not just CIOs, but program managers and others, is do your homework. And I think the advice as well about, knocking on my door, the CIO's door, sometimes is not always the best door. So I think that's going to be appreciative, and hopefully it'll make your life a little bit easier as well. Unfortunately, though, we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Simone Zickman, the Commerce Department Chief Information Officer. Simone, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.